the OTB Podcast Network.
Okay, delighted to be joined now by Kevin Doyle. Kevin, how are you getting on? How have you enjoyed or not enjoyed the last couple of weeks?
It's becoming the norm, I think, like most people. We're lucky, we're in the countryside. We've got lots of horses here that are busy at the moment, falling and stuff. So we're kept really busy. Trying to keep the three kids occupied is the main thing. But between myself and my wife, we're managing very well.
What's been the secret to managing over the last few weeks?
Routine, keep yourself busy, get out of each other's way. We're trying to take advantage of having plenty of time with the kids, but also fitness wise, going for runs. I've got a nice little 2 kilometer radius back roads around here, plenty of back roads and plenty of places you can go within that distance. And as I said, got animals to deal with. They take your mind off everything else that's going on the outside. It's a busy time of year here at home with the horses. So lots of mares falling. So we're keeping ourselves going.
What does falling involve at this point? Is it up in the middle of the night every single night, or is there a little bit of a reprieve?
No, we're, say 2 nights ago, mare falled. The signs that, so within the week, you know when she's going to fall. Her layman's terms, her boobs get bigger and she starts looking like she's about to fall literally in the last few days. And then you bring them in and you watch them at night. They've got alarms on, they set an alarm off. When they're going to fall, we've got cameras on them. So it's, up in the middle of the night. So it always seems to be in the middle of the night as well. They like it dark and quiet when they're going to fall, up in the middle of the night. Thankfully, this one, no problems. Out, we give her a little pull, give her a little helping hand and a nice, healthy, happy fall, and do all the things that she needs, injections and so forth. And then, when it's lucky, we've 3 falls so far and they've all gone well so far. And then you have to get head collars on them, getting used to walking and being around people. They take a lot of, work to get them, they're wild animals, I suppose, and they take a lot of handling to just get them used to it, and that's keeping us busy.
I read your piece with Dan MacDonald in the Irish Independent a few weeks ago, and it seems that it's something that gives you huge fulfillment. And I guess just the only worry now is how the industry reacts to COVID-19. And how the economy will be over the next few months, isn't it?
Like every industry, it's a bit of a disaster. Sales coming up in May, June, big sales for National Hunt Horses, the Land Rover and the Derby sale. The Land Rover's been put off. The Derby sale, I'm not sure what, they haven't really announced yet, but it'll probably be put off. I'm lucky enough, my dad has 4 horses, going on those sales. I have none this year, but he has his 4, and what do you do with them? And whether they go ahead or not, or later in the year, there's going to be a lot of people, buyers of horses are going to be financially hit. It's a big knock on the English market, who buy a lot of Irish horses, what's going to happen there? It's a big deal, like every industry, like everyone, it's affecting everyone, every industry, every sport, every job, and we're no different with horses. So, it was something similar in 2008, 2009, 2010. And you just have to keep going and keep plowing on, and everything will right itself. The world keeps going. It's just how quickly this is going to last and how much of an effect it's going to have in the short term. People are buying and selling horses now to pay for next year's foals and vice versa. And if that gets knocked this year, it affects next year, and it just takes a while for this industry to recover. But there's a lot of passionate people, a lot of people who will keep working at it and keep going at it. And I'm sure it'll bounce back.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed. Kevin, we obviously wanted to get you on to chat through the events over the course of the weekend. Did it surprise you at all that the news came through so quickly from the FAI that Mick McCarthy's contract and Stephen Kenny's contract, I guess, they were both going to be honoured and Stephen Kenny would take over for the Slovakia playoff?
Yeah, surprising. I'm fairly happy that a decision was made one way or the other. You usually get a bit of a hint something's up. You hear about it or read about it. This seemed to come totally out of blue. But I think it's the right decision to make a decision to clear it all up now. There was no easy option. Both scenarios had difficulties. It's a toss of a coin whether this is the right way to do it or to keep on Mick and delay everything, push everything back a year. Looking at it from my opinion, I can see the pluses both sides. I probably would have stayed where we were and kicked the can down the road for a year or whatever and got Mick through to the Euros. He's the one who's put us in this position. It's his squad of players. You feel like he's it's his baby, if you know what I mean. now it's going to be a strange one for Stephen. Does he keep this squad? Does he work with this squad, or does he start, you know, bringing in his ideas and his players straight away to get to try qualify in the playoffs? I don't know. It's a difficult one. He's plenty of time to think about it over the next few months. He's not going to be doing too much. So, yeah, it's a tough one for him. Tough one for Stephen. I think it must be, you know, Mick is saying he doesn't want anyone's sympathy, but it must be tough. He's come in under difficult circumstances. I think he's done exactly what you expect. It hasn't been fantastic, but it's been steady, and he's just got everything settled down, and he put us in a position to possibly qualify. So I think he's left us in a better place than we were when he took over, and that's, you know, that's what he was hired to do. You know, I'd like to see him. I would have personally liked to see him finish it off one way or the other, whether we got there or not, and then it's a clean slate for Stephen. But listen, it was a difficult decision either way. A decision was made. You know, whether they were going to come out and announce that Mick was staying on and pushing on, I think it's great that they have cleared it up fairly early, earlier than I expected. They didn't need to do it now. They could have waited, but I'm glad they did.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that given everything that's happened in the FAI over the last 18 months or so, actually making a decision by honouring a contract is certainly the course of action they want to take, isn't it? And on top of that, there is the added complications of the uncertainty. Like, I mean, there is a possibility Ireland are playing Slovakia in September. It could be November. It could be 2021. And all of a sudden, then you've got two competing contracts and an organization that's also had a lot of financial difficulties over the last 18 months. They don't want that either. So you could probably understand why they've come to this decision and how logically it made a lot of sense.
Definitely. It's the easier of the two. You know, mixed contracts ending anyway. Obviously, the bonus side, but not if we get to Euros, that's a bit of a minefield. But it is the easier option to do. The other option would have taken probably a bit more negotiation. I'd imagine they could have come to it pretty quickly in agreement. You know, I don't know. I'd imagine if we put a reasonable argument, Stephen wouldn't have dug his heels in. And financially, the FAI probably couldn't have hired Mick for another year on the wages he was on. But I think the fact he was, you know, chance of going to the Euros, I'm sure they could have come to an agreement to extend his contract to see him through to that at reduced terms, because you know, he's a good man, Mick, and he's an honourable man, and he would have loved to have been able to bring that squad to Europe. So I don't think that would have been an issue. It just would have all taken a bit more thought and negotiation, and you know, this, the way they've gone is a lot more clean cut and done, and let's just move on. And I can totally see why they've done it. But it's just hard to, you know, it'll be interesting when it comes around, you know, if we do get through the playoffs. Even Stephen, I'm sure he'll be at pains to point out, you know, Mick has got us so far and vice versa. We're going to be talking about it for a while. And if they do get to the Euros, it's, you know, I'm sure Mick will feel, you know, if they do qualify, it's a long way away now, but if they were to win that playoff, get to a Euros in a year's, in a bit's time, you know, it'll hit Mick then. That'll hurt, I'm sure, because he'll feel it was his team and he was the one that did most of the work.
It's interesting when you think about it, and like it's on that point you raised there. Like, you do wonder if there's actually been a shift in attitude towards Mick McCarthy from the FAI, that if you're saying there that they could have worked something out to carry him into the next few months or the next 12 months or whatever it might have been, that almost seems akin to how they were thinking about the whole situation when he was initially appointed, because it seemed to me that Stephen Kenny was going to be brought in after the Euros and after the tournament that we absolutely have to qualify for. It's a tournament that will have games in Dublin. We need to qualify, so we put in a safe pair of hands in Mick McCarthy. Now, there's obviously been a change in the FAI hierarchy, which would explain it, but it does seem that there has been a change in attitude towards Mick, that perhaps the safety of his hands don't seem as much of a sure thing as it did back in December 2018.
Yeah, I suppose you could look at it like that. I don't know. I you know, Mick gives a comfort. He gives a comfort to fans. You know, when you're interviewing him, when people, he's very good. He's very, you know, he's seen it all before. So that argument still holds, where, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk and a lot of difficult times over the next few months and leading up to those games, if they do go ahead or whatever. And he would have been very, you know, very well. He'd seen it all. It would have been no problem to him. So for Stephen now, he's got to deal with a few different issues that he's never had to deal with before. At the end of the day, he's still a young manager who, his first international, senior international job, you know, it's the most scrutiny he's ever going to be under from a press point of view, and the most pressure he's ever going to be under. All that is going to hit him in, you know, September, October, November. And we all say, let's give him time, and he deserves time. And I do think he's very good. He comes across very well. I don't know him that well. I played against him as a manager years ago, and I've met him a couple of times. But from watching his teams play, I enjoy watching his teams play. So but it'll take time. It won't happen in November that he comes in and you know, we look all of a sudden the best footballing team in the world or anything like that. It's going to take time, and he's going to be under pressure if we get bad results and we don't qualify, and all of a sudden there's going to be, well, he shouldn't have got the job, and there's going to be a gap of a few months before he gets the chance to go again the following year to qualify for next tournament. So it's going to be a big sort of learning curve for him to deal with all that that goes on. I'm sure he's well able for it, but it's going to be, you don't know till you're under that sort of scrutiny and pressure whether you are you know, able to deal with it. And it's going to hit him for the first time in October, November, all the interviews, you know, the first bad result that comes, all that sort of stuff that comes with managing the international side, front page news after games. So it's going to be, I just hope he's given a chance to get his ideas across and build and not be, you know, put under the sort of pressure maybe that Steve Staunton or someone like that was in the first few months of his job, that he's given time to build and not just judged on playoffs in November or the first two games next campaign. Because to get his ideas across are, you know, and get new players in, there's a lot of older players in the squad are going to be leaving now to get all that right. It's going to take a bit of time. He's got good, I like, you know, his coaching staff and everything seem like, I think it's going to be a big addition to things. So we've got the right people behind them. But again, you don't know, I know if I'm repeating myself, you don't know till he's in that position. He's not been in, as good as he's done with Dundalk and as good as he's done with the Ireland under-21s, it's not the same as managing the Irish international team. Not the football and the coaching, dealing with players. It'd be well impressed. It's the outside. All of a sudden, he's the main man in Ireland regarding managing sports teams, and the pressure will be on him.
Yeah, absolutely. From your experience, Kevin, how long would it take for a manager with a small bit of a different philosophy to a previous manager to actually implement his ideas on an international team?
You should, you know, you usually, if you get that couple of weeks at the end of a season, you get those breaks and that chance, you know, in the summer teams, you get them together, you get a good long spell, maybe 10 days, 2 weeks, working daily at the training ground, a couple of sessions a day. He can get his point across. And most of the teams in England, most of the lads who are playing in managers and squads and the way they play now will be similar to the way Stephen wants them to play. Their club football won't be a million miles different. So he should be able to get his point across pretty quickly. It's tough, though. Will he have that? I don't know. I'm looking at talk. Just, you know, we're looking. We don't know what the fixtures are. We have no idea. But it seems to be a load of fixtures in a short space of time, possibly in around October, November. So he mightn't get to do much on the training ground with them. So again, it's just another obstacle he'll have to overcome. But he's overcome them in his career to date to get this far. And he knows the players. He's been watching behind the scenes. He's seen what goes on. He's an advantage coming into the job, I suppose, in that respect. He knew he was getting the job, so he'll have his homework done. I go back to just about us. Me, I'll be the one. I'll be talking about him, I'm sure, when the time comes on radio or TV or whatever, and you'll be talking that we take a deep breath before we talk and not rush to criticise a man so early when he does, because he will get bad results or two early on. It's just the way it is, and that we give him a chance to build and work at it. Because it's not easy, and he doesn't have the best players in the world, and it'll take time and for him to get used to the whole scenario as well. So, yeah, again, just all of us fans, whether you're Mick fans or Stephen Kenny fans or whatever, give him a bit of breathing space when he gets in there.
I think that's a fairly good message to give out to people. This is probably a tricky question to answer, given we're so far away from potentially his first game. But is your suspicion that Stephen Kenny's style of play will suit the senior players at the moment? Because it certainly suited the under-21 players. But they're a different sort of group, aren't they? And thankfully, those under-21 players, the protagonists, will become senior players over these next few years. So perhaps it's a very similar thing.
Yeah, and you know, it's a long time till then. You know, the likes of, say, I don't know, David McGoldrick up front, Glenn Whelan, Glenn will be around. You know, there's going to be a changeover in the squad, and he'll have those under-21 players that he knows. It's going to be, yes, and he'll be putting players in there to play his style of play. I don't think he'll be going, well, those few guys played earlier on in the campaign, now it's, you know, I'm going to stick with them and give him, you know, be loyal to them, because he wasn't the manager then. I think he'll go ahead and just play the players he thinks will play his style of football. So, if you're trying to force round pegs into square holes or whatever, it won't work. He'll just have to go with, as I said, he'll have done all his homework. He'll be studying those players for the last year or two, and he'll know, he'll be probably promoting a few from the under-21s, and he'll be just putting people, it'll be a lot easier for him to get his point across by putting people in positions that he knows, you know, they're very comfortable with the style of play he wants to play, instead of forcing it upon someone who maybe doesn't 100% believe it, or, you know, just because they played all the games under Mick. I think you'll see a fairly big change in the makeup of the starting 11.
How encouraged should we be that we have Keith Andrews and Damien Duff in the senior setup as coaches at this point?
Yeah, really good. Two fantastic fellas. I know them both very well. They're both really enthusiastic coaches and still young enough, I think. Well, you know, both not retired long at all. They'll have a good connection with the players. We'll know what the players are thinking day to day. You know, it's a little thing. The coaches are different to the managers. They can have chats with you and explain to you what the manager's thinking in a way that the manager sometimes can't get across to you. And the two of those will be excellent at it. Very passionate ideas. Both of them, you know, I don't know exactly, but they both have the same opinion on the work that needs to be done and the style of football that needs to be played. And Keith has been with Stephen now for a good while, so it's easy for him. But, you know, Damien knows them both well, and it'll be interesting to see them work. And again, giving them more than the first few games before you rush and judge and jump the gun, giving them a year, 18 months to get themselves settling, get their ideas under the table. Because, you know, they're, again, senior international job. This is a massive job for both of them. Fantastic club careers. Damien's a Premier League winner, but it's different being a coach. But he's put the groundwork in over the last few years, and you know it's what you know. Speaking to him about it, I didn't think he would be a coach, and he didn't think he would be a coach. But he told me once he you know dipped his toes in the water, he just loves it. He loves everything about it. He's really passionate about it. So you know, have someone of such a fantastic ability as a player, you know. We don't have too many Premier League winners in Ireland, and to have him coaching and wanting to be involved at underage in the League of Ireland setups and now in the senior team is really, really, really impressive. Shows you what a top bloke he is.
That's actually almost a really encouraging way of a career as a coach to be carved out, isn't it? As you say there, that perhaps he wasn't overly interested in it in the first place, which tells me that he's not in it for the sake of being a coach, for the sake of, you know, wearing the suit on the sideline and having big days and getting the adrenaline rush as a manager. He's almost found his way into this, or coaching has found him, and he's clearly doing it for the right reasons then. Like, I'm not sure if you'd go along with that.
No, definitely. You know, he's not doing it because, I don't know his financial situation, but I'd imagine he's not doing it for the money. You know, he was getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to have the Shamrock Rovers under 15s in training. You know, he was putting the hard yards in. He talked about too much during his career. He wanted to be a coach. He told me he the last thing he wanted to do, I think he said to me, was be a coach. So yeah, it is purely a love of, once he did it, a little bit of it, he loves it. He's passionate about it. You know, that's what you have to be at your job. And he, you know, he moved his family home to Ireland and was set up here. And then for work, he moved them all over to Scotland to work with Celtic. And it's a big commitment to do that when you don't need to do it. You know, and that just shows his feelings for coaching and how he wants to develop and get better and improve himself. And, you know, he started all over again as a coach. You know, been a top player to starting, starting with underage teams and getting his badges and doing it that way and discovering I suppose his method and his style and his way of going about it. And you know, it looks like he's you know, he's got a long-term plan to be, I'd imagine, be the Ireland manager one day, or be a manager in the Premier League or the Aircom League or whatever it may be. But you know, he seems to be going about it the right way.
Absolutely. It's been like something that the FAI have acted with great decisiveness as well over the last couple of days, in terms of getting in these backroom teams, in terms of putting in Duff and Keith Andrews, and then John O'Shea, of course, in the backroom team for the 21s. It leaves the situation now at the time of recording where we don't know where Robbie Keane is going to end up. He's obviously got a couple of years left on his contract. Like, it's a tricky one, Kevin. Like, you can't force a manager to take a coach into his team, which is obviously the situation that they couldn't allow Stephen Kenny to be put under. He couldn't be forced to take any coach that he didn't want part of his coaching team. But at the same time, it's probably wise to keep Robbie Keane sweet, to not burn any bridges with one of the country's greatest ever footballers.
Exactly. But I'd imagine he was given a four-year contract to be in and around one of the squads or one of the teams, help the FAI somewhere. So
Yeah, Stephen Kenny has his ideas and the people he wants involved, and that's every manager. Every manager, just Robbie will know that. He won't be falling out with Stephen Kenny over that. You know, Mick wanted Robbie, and the next manager comes in and wants his guys. So, yeah, it's just, you know, you have to be respectful to someone who's a Irish legend, or top goal scorer, one of the top goal scorers in international football in the world, and to keep him and have his knowledge and advice for whatever role, for be it senior, underage. I thought he would have gone to maybe the under 21 job, or maybe the under, I don't know what's vacant, what role is there at the moment. But when the next one pops up, if he wanted it, you know, I think he'd be a perfect candidate. But again, it's whether he wants it, or, you know, we don't know what he's feeling, whether he's feeling put out by it or whatever. But it's just a difficult situation, not of Robbie's making and not of Stephen Kenny's making. It's just, you know, his contract should have been, I suppose, with Mix, and this wouldn't have been a problem. So, job for the interim chief executive to sort out. You have to be clever about these. You want, as you said, you want to keep Robbie on your side. Someone of his experience and stature in the game, you know, you want him with you. You want him helping your association. You want him helping your country, and he will help our country. But you know, to keep him sweet, I suppose, is any other word as good as any other word, because his knowledge, his status is unmatched in Ireland. I think you know, to have him representing you, I don't know what role you can give him right now, but again, if the FAI are in a difficult situation financially, so that's another issue that they have to deal with. And again, I don't know what his contract situation is, but if you believe the papers, it's going to cost him a few pounds. So yeah, tough one for the CEOs. I think they've acted really well so far. This is a tough one for them, that they didn't have this, you know, everything else sorted out, that this one was left sort of hanging, you know, have been so clear cut with all the other stuff. They've obviously just been a bit snooker with this one, and they can't seem to have a solution right now. They're maybe waiting on Robbie's response to things.
Yeah, for sure. This is what happens when you inherit a couple of issues here and there, and a little bit of incohesion. But I'm sure it'll get sorted over the next couple of days. Listen, Kevin, it's been great chatting to you. Look after yourself, and glad to hear you're keeping busy.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.